This evening we have Brother David to be our speaker, and I know he will appreciate your careful attention and also your silent prayers. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you here. I'm glad I'm here this evening. I was thinking lately, we don't know how many times we can say we're glad we're here, because one of these days we're not going to be here. But how many of us believe in Jesus Christ and in the sacrifice that he gave to us? We're all here this evening. Do we all believe? If we all believe, then we don't have anything to worry about, right? We don't have any sorrow or any sickness. No worries about this life, because we believe, and that's all it takes. Well, if it was that easy, then my sermon wouldn't even have to be made this evening. My sermon's going to be a simple one, though. It's going to be song number 163 in our red book. Are ye able? Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we follow thee. Well, we all know that eventually this life is going to end. But we also are told that whatever spirit possesses us in this life is the spirit that will possess us in the hereafter. If all I had to do was believe in Jesus Christ, then leave the rest up to him, then I wouldn't have any worries in my life. But you know, it's never told to us that life is going to be easy. He said, my yoke is easy. That means it's easy to call upon him, to ask him for strength and for the things that we are in need of. And he promises that he will give those things to us, if we're humble and we ask him and we're doing the best we can. Well, I can tell you it's wonderful to see people like Bob come and go through all the trials and things that he has done to try and get employment here, to try and put together a home for his family, and to know that he has never been discouraged, he's never had a bad day. None of us ever have, right? And if we don't, then we're not human. Because even Jesus Christ in the flesh and blood had bad days. He had times when he was on his knees praying to his Father that he would receive help. And the angels came and ministered to him and gave him strength, that he was able to face the next hour. There are times when I can get so discouraged that I know that it's tough to be around me, because I'm just not in the mood. I'm in a bad mood. And it's at those times that Satan takes advantage of it. And he will pile things on you. And he will bring everything he can against you to try and discourage you and to say, what's the use? Why do I even struggle? Why do I try to go on? And that's just exactly what Satan wants you to think. He doesn't want you to be able to be crucified with Christ. You know, we don't think of ourselves as being crucified with Christ, but there were those that were there following after Christ that were scared, that were not able. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Bring some of this to our memory of what we've read about. The 26th of Matthew. I'm going to start on the 31st verse and read through 35. This was Christ speaking with his disciples at the time that he was about to be revealed by a traitor, so that he could be arrested. Then said Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. They all joined in with Peter and said, "No way. We'll die with you before we'll be offended. We'll not deny you." Doesn't take very long. Let's go down to verse 55. I'm going to read three verses here, 55 through 58. "In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out against me as a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But after all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." You got to give Peter some credit here. The other disciples ran away. Peter was willing to fight. He was there because he said he was going to be there. He told the Lord, "I'm going to stick with you." Let's go down to verse 69. "Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." If you read this in Luke, I think it's chapter 22, Luke, it says that the Lord looked at Peter when Peter denied him the third time. And then Peter remembered what the Lord had said. Now I want to come to Peter's defense. Back up to verse 48. in the same chapter, chapter 26. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." And this was Judas, going to betray Christ. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. This was Peter. Peter stood up to all those soldiers, those centurions, and he drew his sword, and he was ready to fight. And then said Jesus unto him, "Put up again thy sword unto its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are you come out against me as the thief? With swords and staves to take me, I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled." You see, Peter was willing to fight. But the Lord said, don't do that, Peter. Because the scripture has to be fulfilled. So what was Peter to do? To give up his life too? To say, "Yeah, I was with him." Then the soldiers would have took him and crucified him right along with Christ. And that wasn't what Christ wanted. This was not the time. Peter had a work to do. And this was not the time or the place. Jim read to us this morning that there's a time and a place for everything on earth. This was not the time for Peter to die. This was the time for Christ to fulfill prophecy. Let's go down to the next verse in the song. "Are ye able to remember when a thief lifts up his eyes that his pardoned soul is worthy of a place in paradise?" I want to go to Luke chapter 23 and read verses 39 through 43. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" Wouldn't that be worth dying for? Would you be able, if you were hanging there beside Jesus Christ and you believed on him and knew who he was and that he was being crucified unjustly, but that you yourself deserved what you were going to get, and you asked the Lord to remember you, and he said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." what a relief that had to be for this man. I want to go to Luke, the 18th chapter. Read about the Pharisee and the publican. And this is where the Lord's warning us what we should be like. The 18th chapter of Luke, I'm going to start on verse 10. In the words of God, in the words of Christ. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, staying far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We got to be real careful about pride. We got to be real careful that we don't say, I am glad I am better than that person, because we don't know that person. We might think we do, but I can guarantee you, you can't judge a book by its cover. What's inside is what God sees. It's not what we see. It's not given to us to know all things the way God does. If we just stood there and saw these people, three of them in a line up on a cross to be crucified, we'd have looked at him and said, yep, he's a thief and he deserves what he gets. That one in the middle, he's claiming to be the Son of God. How ridiculous is that? He deserves what he needs. One on the right, he's probably a murderer or a thief, you know. They all deserve what they get. They made their choice. We don't know that about people. We can't tell, because we don't know their hearts. Down to the next verse in the song. Are ye able, when the shadows close around you with a sod, to believe that spirit triumphs, to command your soul to God? We know that the God that created us is who we are going to go back to when this life is over. And I want to read in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 16 through 19. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall be their end? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You know, if we're thankful for what God gives us, and we trust that he's going to watch over our soul, that he's going to take care of us. This life is very short. To be able to endure to the end isn't asking that much. Regardless of those fiery darts that Satan sends our way, if we're wearing the armor of God, Satan can't hurt us. And in fact, he'll flee from us when he can tell that he can't be effective on discouraging us to the point where we do not commit our souls to God any longer. But we say, there is no God. There's no way that he can let these bad things happen to me. Or we can be like the disciples that after they were beaten, imprisoned, then released, they glorified God and said, we were worthy. We were worthy to suffer. It's a whole different way of looking at it, isn't it? Not why did he do this to us, but he did this because men willed it, but God was with us through it. I want to go to Romans, the 14th chapter. Read 7 through 9 here. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Regardless of what we want or what we think, the Lord is the one in charge. He's the one that's going to have the say-so. It's up to us to decide what we want. Do we want to put our trust in the Lord? Do we want to make every moment count for the Lord to be what he wants us to be? Or are we going to waste it? As Jim spoke about time this morning, time is something we shouldn't waste. The seconds, the minutes, the hours go by quickly. Especially for those that are working and staying busy their whole lives. Busy, busy, busy. They don't have time to contemplate the things of God. The things that really matter, the things that he gave to us. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read 53 through 58. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord said, my word shall not be in vain. The work that he has to do is going to be done, regardless of what Satan wants. The Lord's going to do it. That's a promise that he made. We can be a part of that work. We can be a part of what he wants his children to be. Next verse in the song. Are ye able? Still the master whispers down. Eternity. And heroic spirits answer, now as then in Galilee. If you go to Hebrews 13:8, I'm just going to quote that. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't matter whether he's right here today, whether he's in Galilee, or whether he was with Moses. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and he will be forever. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And those things that he has set as law will not change. Now, people change. Sometimes for the better, but usually not. But one thing that life is going to teach you is that you can't change people. As much as you think you can work with somebody and you can change the way they are, you're going to have a difficult time. Because the only thing that's going to change those people is the Spirit of God. God will change people. Look at what he's done with people like Paul, with people like Moses. Moses said, I can't lead the people. I'm no good at speaking. They won't listen to me. So God said, well, then I'll get your brother Aaron to speak for you. But you're going to lead the people. Moses didn't believe him. Saul didn't believe him until he was struck down and was named Paul, who gave us so many of these words that which we study today. Philippians, the second chapter. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 17. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputations, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offended upon the sacrifice, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul saying, I rejoice with you all. Even if I am sacrificed, I rejoice because of your belief. He said, don't murmur. Don't debate it. Don't talk against it. Be blameless. Be harmless. Humble yourselves and do what God expects. As we go into the chorus of the song, Lord, we are able. Our spirits are thine. Remold them and make us like thee divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. These are words of confidence. You know, if we have confidence in the Lord and we're not ashamed of Him, He is not ashamed of us. I'm going to go to James, the first chapter. Verse 20. I'm going to read through 27. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, the man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I brought a couple of things with me this evening that I thought kind of pertained to this. We were in Dodge City, Kansas. It's been quite a few years back now. Kids were pretty small. We went to their Front Street show, and you could go to the Long Branch, and you could go to the school, and go around and tour the different buildings that they had set up like they imagined it was back in the 17, 1800s when the town was first built. And there was up on the chalkboard in the school, some words written in chalk. And I took out a piece of paper and I wrote them down. It said, speak gently to the aged one, grieve not the careworn heart. The sands of life are nearly run, let such in peace depart. You know, we have to respect our elders. The Lord told us to. Now, whether you agree with everything that they say, that doesn't matter. You give them respect. Everyone's different. Everyone has different beliefs. We have to respect the beliefs that other people have. We try not to be disrespectful and to offend. You know, there's probably not a day in my life goes by where I don't need to ask the Lord to forgive me for something. Because we all have our opinions and we don't agree with everybody around us. But you know, if we all were the same, it'd be a pretty boring life. Be a pretty boring existence. There has to be a little difference in us. But what is important is that we try to do what's right. And we look at that face in the glass that I just read about. Larry Schwartz wrote a poem, and I'm going to read it this evening. It says, when you get what you want in the struggle for self and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife who judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. You may be like Jack Horner and Chisel the Plum and think you are a wonderful guy. But the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest. For he's with you clear to the end, and you've passed your most dangerous, difficult tests if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but the final reward will be heartaches and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. You know, if you look in a mirror and you don't like what you see, you ought to do something about it. It's very difficult sometimes to recognize that and to say, I need to change myself. I have not been true to God. I messed up. But we're not all perfect, are we? That's why the Lord came and told us how to live. How to be perfect. Told us not to be offended in him, and he would not be offended in us. My final reading is going to be 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, whom hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, if the Lord has established us, if he's given us peace, if we can look at ourselves and say, I need to be humble. Because I know I'm not perfect, then we are able. I can guarantee you we are able. When we look at it like that and say it's not just me. It's how I am influenced by the world. Do I let the world win? Do I let Satan take control? Or do I put my trust and my humbleness in what the Lord has taught me? And what he has told me is the promise of the hereafter in his kingdom. This life is pretty short. But when this life is over, that's when we get our reward. Are we able to stand? Are we able to say, I believe and truly believe? You know, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have strife in your life. But the real test is to say, I believe. Nobody can take that away from me. Thank you.